This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 2, 2017. The Third Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He who receives you receives me. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He who receives you receives me. That is not a carte blanche statement that anybody who shows up to anybody's house and talks about Jesus is receiving him in the same context as he is receiving our Lord. This is geared more toward our Lord's called ones, not just anybody who wants to talk about Jesus, but the one that the church calls, the Holy Spirit calls, to project the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ. The statement that Jesus makes is for all generally, but there is some specificity. And that specificity is the priesthood. The priesthood that he is going to establish as a New Testament priesthood to proclaim the gospel. That gospel that is nothing less, nothing more than repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He who receives you receives me. To be received in the name of Jesus Christ is to say exactly what he says, to represent him absolutely. We live in a day and age where priests are looked upon as nothing more than the office manager in a lot of contexts. Somebody sent me a link. They do this just to annoy me occasionally. They send me links of things that I know will just get me going. And it was a diocese in Germany, and the bishop's picture on the diocese in Germany was the bishop with a coat and tie on. That's sacrilege, folks. He has the fullness of the priesthood, and he's dressed, and because it articulated this otherwise, that he considered himself the CEO of the diocese. That's sacrilege. He's got the fullness of the priesthood. He is supposed to be a conduit from heaven to earth. And he's sitting there with his coat and tie on. It's no one's fault but our own, and by our own I mean priests, that this has happened. When our Lord gives this admonition to his apostles, he is encouraging them. He says, he who receives you receives me. It's just not encouragement, it is also an expectation. He expects them to present his truth absolutely, fully, and with clarity. That's what he expects. That's when you are received in his name. When you empty yourself as a man and you are filled with his truth and you present that truth. Jesus is encouraging his apostles by this, and he's also persuading others to receive them. Receive them because he identifies intimately with them. There is an intimate relationship. There's an intimate identity between the Catholic priest and our Lord Jesus Christ that does not exist in the heretical Protestant sects. It does not exist there. They deny it. They explicitly deny it. They don't believe in a sacerdotal priesthood. They don't believe that they have sacrificing priests. Their pastors are nothing more than teachers that the community is called together to teach them. That's the way they look at it. Our view is completely different because of the words of our Jesus Christ, like that, he who receives you receives me. Again, with the expectation being the one you receive completely reflects the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ has presented to the world. We are blessed And I mean this with all sincerity and tremendously, because the bishop has used us as a parish in the formation process of seminarians for the ordinariate. It is a task that I take extremely seriously. We are a parish that prays quite frequently, you know, during the Ember Days. I always harp on the Ember Days. Come for a while and you'll hear about the Ember Days, where we emphasize, and I always point out this to people, we do not emphasize praising for vocations. Vocations are always there. Our Lord Jesus Christ has not stopped calling. He hasn't slowed down his calls. We don't and ought not pray for vocations. We ought to pray for answers to the vocations. We need to pray for answers to the call that our Lord Jesus Christ places on men's hearts for the priesthood. Every time we get a seminarian, I may contact them with them before they get here and set up some stuff. And if they're going to be here a short time or a long time, I always give them some directed study, something to read, ponder. If they're going to be here a long time, there's a couple books. But if they're going to be here a short time, there's just one. But they all get this one. It's St. John Hewitt's book, The Priest, His Dignity and His Obligations. I always point out that anything theological, anything ecclesial, there has to be balance. There has to be balance between the dignity of the priesthood and the obligations of the priesthood, because one relies on the other. And these young men need to know that. They need to know the dignity that the Holy Spirit has put on their hearts to make them Catholic priests. As I said before, to be a conduit from heaven to earth, literally. You know, we appreciate that when we talk about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that eternity came into time in the incarnation. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. He means that literally. And one of the ways he manifests that is in the Catholic priesthood. This is not some teaching that is something that Catholics came up with, so you treat their priests well. It's scriptural. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through, for instance, St. Paul, when he says in 1 Timothy, let the priests who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hold the thought about that last part of it, because we're going to get into that in a little bit, and I want it in the forefront of your mind, who labor in the word and doctrine. Labor in it, not change it, not leave some of it out, not adjust it, because we know so much more now in our day and time. They labor in Christ's word and doctrine. In another place in the New Testament, it says that the priest should have dignity because he is obligated to give an account for your souls. This whole mindset of this is between me and God. That sounds very pious and all, but guess what? It's not what God says. God says that the priests are obligated to give an account for the souls that are put before them, that are put under their charge in this world. That's why a priest should be shown dignity. Not because of him as a man, but because of what his responsibility is for your souls. St. Francis says this, if I saw an angel and a priest, I would bend knee first to the priest. It's kind of almost embarrassing to say that. St. John Vianney, this is a more humbling thing. Behold the power of the priest. His tongue makes God from a morsel of bread, no matter how simple he may be. So no matter how dull any given priest may be, no matter how unkempt, unsightly, even immoral he may be, if he says the words of consecration and he intends to do sacramentally what the church does, when he says the words of consecration for all his faults, of which there may be many, Jesus Christ comes from heaven to earth, body, blood, soul, and divinity on our altars in the Catholic Church. This sounds really, well, come on. That sounds kind of prideful to be talking like that. It's not, because there should be a complete negation of the man. We should all act in what is referred to in Latin as in persona Christi. We act in the person of Christ. This is foremost in the sacramental world. When the priest baptizes, he acts in persona Christi. So closely, again, this intimate relationship, this intimate identity between the priest and Jesus Christ. The priest doesn't say, Almighty God baptizes you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The priest says, I baptize you. When you go into the confessional, you do not hear, Jesus Christ absolves you from all of your, he says, I absolve you from all of your, that is how close the identity is. That shouldn't be something that people step back and go, that's pretty arrogant. No, it should be just the opposite. It should be encouraging. It should encourage you to know that in the Catholic priesthood, that when you come to a priest for his ministrations, that if necessary, something actually supernatural is going on. Supernatural. You're just not getting counseling. You can actually bring heaven to earth. Confessional, Eucharist, anointings. It is that important. He who receives you receives me. But it's incumbent on the priest to make that a reality. In that first reading today, the Shunammite woman, she wants this guy to stay in her house. Yeah, she wants this priest. She makes a room for him. But she doesn't say, hey, when Elisha comes to town, or she doesn't even say, when the prophet Elisha comes to town. She says, when the man of God comes to town, because there's a complete negation of the human being. Elisha isn't Elisha anymore. He is a prophet of Almighty God. Now, we shut down a lot when we hear the word prophet. Prophets are not primarily seers of the future. A lot of them are, but that's a very limited part of their ministry. Their ministry is first and foremost and essentially communicating God's word as he presents it to them. Not of their own liking, not of their own redaction, the edited version that makes this particular group of people feel better about themselves, telling God's word. And you know what? It raises the ire in so many people that they want to kill them. Jeremiah, for instance, of whom we learned last week. The vocation to the priesthood is not even something that a man comes up with himself. He can and will, and pray God, discern that the Lord has called. But it is first and foremost the church that validates that call. There has to be an inward and an outward call. There has to be both. I've known a lot of men, I'm called to be a priest. And you're thinking in the back of your mind, there ain't no way. And that is validated generally by the church in short order. There are other people who I know, I can think of a particular individual who I think, you know, that guy would make an excellent priest. And I think the church would say so also. He's got no inclination whatsoever to become a priest currently. No inward call and an outward call, no priest. Inward call, no outward call, no priest. There has to be both an inward and an outward call. The vocation is exterior. The vocation is something that is validated by the Holy Spirit through Mother Church. Even the ordination rite communicates this. If you've ever seen an ordination to the priesthood, the man does not put one thing on himself. The church clothes him with his vestments. The church puts things on him. The only thing he does is get on his face in front of the bishop. And he should have in his mind while he's laying there the emptying of himself from henceforth. Days of discernment are over. Get that email from the diocese a lot. Father so-and-so is taking a sabbatical to discern his vocation. That was in seminary, guy. That's not now. After you got on your face, those days are over. Then you just proceed. Because what has happened to you in ordination is forever. The priestly dignity is something that we should show priests, but it is also something that should be manifest by priests. Priests should act like what they are. They should dress like what they are all the time, because you're a priest 24/7. You're not a priest when you're on campus. You're not a priest when you're at the altar. You are a priest all the time. And you need to act like it all the time. You need to dress like it. You need to exhibit the piety of one who speaks and God listens. That's a weird thing. St. John Vianney says that somewhere else. That's a weird one to read. The priests are the only people on the face of this planet to whom God listens. This is my body. This is my blood. The Holy Spirit reacts to the words of a man. Hence what St. John Vianney says about, behold the priest, his tongue makes God from a morsel of bread. They ought to act like it. They need to act like it. Pointed out the bishop, I'm a CEO, I'm going to wear my coat and tie. Sacrilege. This later, one of the videos that annoys the heck out of me here as of late is the one where the two priests and a bishop in a car wearing baseball hats or whatever sport team's hats. They're not baseball hats or football hats, whatever. They're wearing sport team hats singing secular music. Sacrilege. Sacrilege. And then in the comm boxes underneath them, oh, that's so cool. The bishop and the priest, they're just like us. No, they're not. No, they are not. And they ought not act like it. I got some serious problems going on. I want to go to my bishop. And I got a picture in my mind of him singing secular songs with a sports team hat on. I got serious problems. I want to go to a man that's got the fullness of the priesthood, that is going to bring supernatural guidance into my life. That's what I want. There's this completely skewed thing going on. And what's wrong about it? Well, that's just the way people look at priests now. People look at priests like that because the priests act like that. And they do things like that. Oh, let's make ourselves look cool. No. There is a priestly dignity. There are things in the world that people do that are acceptable, fun, and you should do socially. The priest ought not do it because he should maintain an aura of priestly dignity. He should be approachable, absolutely approachable. He should be open. My office door is never closed. You can waltz in there whenever you want if I'm in there. I don't care. You know, my personal cell phone is on the recording. And they call me. But when you approach me, I want you to know that you're approaching the priest. That's what we're supposed to do. Like I said, dress like it. There is nothing that gets people coming up. You talk about, you don't have to say an icebreaker. Oh, say this. You don't have to say anything if you stand around an airport with a cassock on. You don't have to say a word if you're praying the rosary in your cassock walking around a lake down off of Edgewater Drive. People come up to you. They come up to you. It's like a magnet. You know, what's really kind of sad about that whole deal is when a lot of them come up to you, they go, are you a Roman Catholic? And they don't see priests in cassocks anymore. That's Anglicans and the Eastern Orthodox. Priests should wear cassocks. Now, there's got to be substance under the form. You know, I know a lot of priests who have some really, really nice 33-button cassocks, and they just dress to the T, you know, they're all Fulton Sheened out, you know? Fulton Sheen's awesome. I wish I could be a bishop someday, but I can't. But if I ever was, I'd dress like Fulton Sheen. But there was definitely substance under the form of the man. All right? There's a lot of guys I know that wear a 33-button cassock and tell me they got it in Rome and it costs $850 and you get a deal if you do this and do that. And if you know somebody over in Rome, guess what? I'd rather have a priest like St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, who a bunch of the ladies in Opus Dei used to make fun of him because they said he didn't wear a cassock anymore, that it was just a bunch of patches that had been put together because it had been repaired so many times because he wore the same cassock for decades. The same cassock. It was dirty. It was torn up. But it was a cassock. And everybody knew he was a priest. A priest should show his dignity and he should be given dignity. Because of that second thing that I pointed out in the title of that book, the priest, his dignity and his obligations. The obligations for a priest are really simple. Very simple. Tremendously simple. Because they're basically three things. And that's to be a missionary. We are all called to be missionaries in a general sense. Just like there's a general priesthood. There is an internal priesthood and there is an external priesthood. The general priesthood of Christ and the ministerial priesthood of the sacerdotal priests. The obligations for all, particularly focused on the priest, are to be a missionary. That word is bandied about back and forth so many times, we don't even know what that means. It basically means in some circles just hanging out with other people. That's not missionary. This is missionary. It's called the great commission that our Lord Jesus Christ gives to everyone, but particularly for his priests. Go therefore and make disciples. Notice it doesn't say, go therefore and make friends. Because if you make disciples, you're going to make enemies. Because you need to present a message of repent, turn away from the way you're living, and turn toward Jesus Christ and start following him. Go therefore and make disciples. Baptizing them, bringing them into the church sacramentally, and then administering the sacraments to them throughout their Catholic life. And then, and this one's a good one, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded. If you hang around here long enough, I point out in the lectionary quite frequently, and this is generally where I preach, that there are things in the lectionary that are left out. In the past several decades, the Gospels, 23 different times, there have been redactions, additions made, where we leave things out, and they generally have to do with these really ugly things like judgment, hell, the exclusivity of our Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Truth with clarity. You're going to make enemies if you present truth with clarity. We get it in here. I get the jokes. I'm hearing about another. You know, you can see a lot from up here. And you can see people the way they do it. And a lot of times there's subject matter dealt with. And there's visitors here. And you start getting the... And then there's the big lean. All right. And then you'll hit something, and about once every 3-4 months, up and out. As I always, whenever I go there, it's like, your beef's not with me. Your beef is with Scripture. Your beef is with the tradition of the church. Your beef is with the magisterial teachings consistently that have been handed down through the history of the church. The truth needs to be presented in clarity. There is no wiggle room. When it comes to the truth of our salvation, the broad road allows for a lot of wiggle room, and the broad road leads to destruction. It leads to everlasting hell. And yeah, it's a real place. And yeah, there's a real guy there that's going to be, his name is Satan. And yeah, he's real. He's not a psychological title that we give our own foibles. Okay? He's a real fallen angel, and there's a real hell, and you'll be there for all eternity, suffering, if you're on the broad road. And the broad road, as I said, leaves itself open to a lot of wiggle room. The narrow gate, however, does not allow for any wiggle room, hence the narrow part of the whole deal that our Lord presents to us. Truth with clarity. Your priests need to get up in front of you and say, homosexuality is a heinous, vile sin. Those of whom engage in it, irrespective of God's plan, natural law, are going to go to hell. They will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Contraception is a mortal sin. Cohabitation is a mortal sin. Mortal sin separates you from the grace of Christ, and you cannot receive communion if you are engaged in it. Fix it. That's not merciful. That's not charitable. It is the utmost of mercy and the utmost of charity because you want people to fix it. And it's easy for a Catholic. March your tail in there, get on your knees, say what you've done, be contrite, try your best not to do it again, and the priest will even work with you through that thing, and he will say, I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Because that is in the Roman Catechism, two functions. The priest has two functions. Two. To offer sacrifice to God, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and to administer the sacraments. There is nothing else articulated in the Roman Catechism that is a function of the priesthood. Now, there's a whole lot of other ancillary responsibilities that are, all important. I get the emails of, hey, you're late for this, you're late for that. Okay, I'll take care of it. Okay? My two primary functions, the reason I take an air is to celebrate Mass and to hear confessions, first and foremost. That's why priests exist, or should exist. Because they are your supernatural link to heaven, and they should manifest that to you. And they should let you know it. We are in dire straits in our day and age. St. Gregory the Great, again, whenever I go places like this, I don't want to be, that's just Father Dodd's opinion. St. Gregory the Great asserts, nothing more angers God than to see those whom he set aside for the correction of others give bad example by a wicked and depraved life. Instead of preventing offenses against his majesty, such priests become themselves the first to persecute him. They lose their zeal for the salvation of souls and think only of following their own inclinations. Their affections go no farther than earthly things. They eagerly bask in the empty praises of men, using their sacred ministry to serve their ambitions. They abandon the things of God to devote themselves to the things of the world, and their saintly calling of holiness, they spend their time in profane and worldly pursuits. Think about those words in the middle. I mean, watch stuff that is emanating from within our church now. Their affections go no farther than earthly things. They eagerly bask in the empty praises of men. I mentioned the ordination rite before. When you're ordained, your hands are consecrated and they are wrapped, and there is what is called the imposition of instruments. A paten and a chalice are placed in your hands, and you are given authority to offer sacrifice for the living and the dead, to administer the sacraments. I have never seen one ordination mass where a visa stamp was placed in a priest's hands, or a checkbook was placed in a priest's hands to give money to everybody. That's an ancillary issue and not even within the competence of the church. You know, such subjects as immigration, is it necessary to be discussed? Yes, in government, not by Holy Church. We could be the conscience of the government and try to guide them in their decisions. But what good is making a person a citizen of any given country if they go to hell when they die? Climate change? Really? Really? That should be discussed by Mother Church. Climate change? Hey, let's fix this place up. Let's clean it up real nice. Darn, the earth was a whole lot nicer than this hell place that I wound up because I was so focused on climate change. If you didn't laugh, you'd cry. All right? And I will leave you with this one. And this is from the book that I give the seminarians, St. John Eudes, a priest, his obligations and dignities. And little commercial, read it. If you're a reader, read that book. You know, get it on audio. It lets you know what you should expect from your priests. But this remark should drive us to fasting a little bit more often or a lot more often, praying in our masses during the offertory, for the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction and protection of Mother Church, that our Blessed Mother, the Mother of Priests, would intercede for them, because we are in tremendously dire straits. This is what St. John Eudes says. The most evident mark of God's anger and the most terrible castigation he can inflict upon the world are manifested when he permits his people to fall into the hands of clerics who are priests more in name than in deed. Father, and of Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.